Good morning. I just go in and call this meeting of the administration committee to order. Our first item of business is to approve today's agenda. Does anyone have any suggestions? If not, all those in favor of approval, aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it, the agenda is approved. Next up is to approve the minutes of our last meeting. Does anyone have any suggestions in the minutes? No? Second, all those in favor, aye. Ayes have it, the minutes are approved. We only have one item today on our agenda this morning, an update on Metro's DBE, or Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program. We've had some noted changes that have happened in the program in the last few months since the last time we've met. So I'll turn the floor over to Mr. Franklin Jones, Metro's Chief of the Department of Fair Practices, to provide a progress report on the plan.
Good morning, and thank you. As the chair said, my name is Franklin Jones, and I'm the chief of the Department of Fair Practices. I'm here today to provide you with an overview of the actions that WMATA is taking to improve the Disadvantaged Enterprise Program, or DBE program. Next slide, please. When I joined WMATA a few months ago, the general manager, Mr. Paul Wiederfeld, made it clear that he's committed to diversifying the pool of companies with whom WMATA works. And he asked me to assess our process, our capabilities, and to start doing everything possible to deliver on our DBE goal of 22%. The goal, as you see on the chart, is broken out by race conscious and race neutral. 14% of the goal is race conscious and 8% is race neutral. My assessment found that we are not on pace to achieve our DBE goal of 22%. Based on the data I reviewed, in the first six months of fiscal year 2017, we achieved about 9%, which is less than half of our 22% goal for the year. So my goal is to not only achieve the DBE goal, but to fully implement all the elements of a federally regulated DBE program. Next slide, please. And these are the requirements of the federal requirements for a DBE program. As you may be aware, the DBE program is mandated and designated by the federal government to combat discrimination and its continuing effects by providing contracting opportunity in federally funded projects for small businesses owned, managed, and operated by women and or minorities. The regulatory requirements are the framework and basis for our plan going forward. I would also like to add that WMATA's DBE plan, which was signed by the general manager earlier this year, is consistent with the FTA's regulatory requirements. Next slide, please. So please allow me to provide you with an overview of our assessment of the DBE program. We reviewed and relied on three key reports, which you see listed on the screen. These reports, the data, and my observations led us to conclude that the DBE program required reorganization in order to achieve the business results WMATA requires. The three reports is the 2014 OIG report, the FTA's 2017 triennial report, and an internal report conducted by WMATA's Management Audits, Risk and Compliance Office, or MARC as we call it, and then my own initial assessments as I came into the organization. This new organization will prioritize regulatory compliance, performance expectations, advancing new processes, and rigorous adherence to written procedures. Next slide, please. The redesigned program will focus on all of the small business programs, the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program, the Small Business Enterprise Program, and the Small Business Local Preference Program. And it will provide equal attention to each of these programs to ensure that we are fully complying with all of the requirements, not only for the federal programs, but for the board-approved programs as well. We've identified a director for the position. Her name is Ms. Sylvia Edwards. She's a current employee in our Office of Procurement. She has over 30 years of experience, and she will report to the position of Director of Small Business Programs this coming Monday, which I believe is October 16th. The reorganization will focus primarily on how can we diversify the pool of vendors who do business with WMATA, and then how can we ensure that those vendors are given a fair opportunity to receive work once they're certified. So the positions described as small business analysts will focus primarily on data collection, data analyzing data, and ensuring that we are able to meet the kind of reporting requirements that are mandated by the board and by the FTA. The small business analyst position will be repurposed to focus solely on auditing on-site and investigations to prevent any type of fraud once a contract is awarded. And so this is a key change in terms of how we've done business in the past. Due to automation, we are now able to repurpose the staff effort, if you will, into more audit and investigative type work. I believe that this organizational structure will allow us to not only ensure that vendors are certified properly and awarded contracts fairly, but then that we can then collect, analyze, and maintain the data and records necessary to ensure and demonstrate full compliance to any third party. Next slide, please. Some of the process improvements that we have started to see from this process is we are automating the DBE application process through the Contracts Life Management System, CLM, as we call it. It is a module which within the PeopleSoft management system. It allows the vendor to submit an application through a paperless portal. Then we're able to review it, assess it, and assign it and process it in a more timely and complete manner. We are automating the prompt payment process. We will require vendors to submit their information through CLM, and that will allow us to compile it and analyze it on a monthly basis. And in fact, we'll be able to give up-to-date reports on a monthly basis. We've also established, and we are currently utilizing, what we refer to as a procurement review group. And the purpose of the procurement review group is to ensure that we are setting contract goals, or DBE goals, or SBE specifications on all contracts with federal money. The group is chaired by the Chief Procurement Officer, and I am a co-chair. In terms of communications, we've created a DBE hotline which allows vendors to submit any questions or concerns that we have, and we've committed to responding to vendors within 24 hours. I will tell you that that has not eliminated the number of calls that we get from vendors, and so we respond to telephone calls as well. We've created a separate web page, and I know I said created a new web page. The prior DBE page was on the procurement page, so we separated the DBE program page from the procurement page to, one, increase visibility to the public, which is to make it easier to find, and we're now in the process of redesigning it and creating a communications plan to ensure that our vendor community and the community at large are aware of the program and what we're doing to advance the program. Next slide, please. System improvements. We believe that this reorganization will create system improvements by modifying our document management system. We will be able to collect and report specific data elements required by FTA as well as the board, and be able to answer any relevant question as it pertains to our small business program. By improving our records management, we'll be able to apply analytics to our data and determine trends, be able to indicate where there might be need for immediate attention, and generally use the information to advance the program. By improving guidance and support to the community, we hope to be able to grow the pool of ready, willing, and able vendors, and then be able to support them as in their efforts to grow their business, which is truly the purpose of the socioeconomic programs, is to ensure that small businesses are not just given an opportunity, but we are there to support them in their growth and their advancement. And next slide, please. Our improvement schedule, we hope to have the new staff on board to support the all of the staff on board to support the program within the next 120 days. Those days started to run on September 15th. The SOPs for the certification process within the next 60 days, again from September 15th. My hope is that the training that, well, the training needed to support the staff will flow from the SOPs, so that should be done by the 90th day. Our prompt payment, the automation piece of that should be completed within the next 120 days. We've implemented an interim measure, which is really spreadsheet-based to bridge us over until we get there to ensure that we're able to provide the FTA second half report. The communications plan, which I indicated we've already taken some actions, but we will have a published communications plan completed within the next 60 days or 45 days from now. And then by July of 2018, we will have a handbook, an operating manual, if you will, that will be able to demonstrate support every aspect of the program. It'll be a training manual, it'll be a reference manual, and it will be a tool that hopefully will allow us to maintain a consistent and sustained high level of performance. Next slide, please. In the interim, in order to keep the program moving forward, we have support for the certification process by vendors, and also support from the internal audit team to do on-site for us. So presently, we are on schedule to meet with the Unified Certification Program at the end of the month and be able to submit all of the applications that we have currently pending. Some applications are incomplete, but we're gathering that data as we speak. We've used a procurement staff. We have a number of staff members who have worked in DBE programs at other agencies, and the procurement staff have been supporting us in our goal setting. SOP development is being done by a contractor. As I indicated earlier, prompt payment is in development. The communications plan is in development. And the compliance is being done by a staff person who is on detail from the EEO office. And when I say compliance, that is ensuring that prompt payment is made and that the primes are paying the subs, and if there is any form of misconduct, that we're able to identify and address it. If we should identify potential misconduct, we refer to the IG. Next slide. And I'm willing to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you so much for your presentation. I'll start with my general concerns. The last time we were briefed about this program, it was in a different place than the report that we're getting today, so that's a little disheartening. I wanted to ask a couple of follow-up questions in regards to some of the things that you stated. I heard you say that the CLM program
comes to die in this room. the CLM program that you said is going to be handling the automatic prompt payments, the vendor tracking. When did that program begin?
The CLM development started in June of 2016, is when the module first started being utilized for the socioeconomic programs. When I came on board, we started to look at how can we then expand the use. So I've been working with the CLM team for about 6 months now.
Okay. So was it fully operational in January 2017 when
No.
you came on board?
It was not. No, ma'am, it was not.
What relevant parts was it missing?
When I first came on board, it was not being fully utilized. It was simply used as a tracking tool, shall we say. The vendors were not using the external portal, and internally we were not using it for records and documentation management. So that's one of the first things that I asked the staff to do, to start actually utilizing the system for its intended purpose.
So when you say that some of these processes are going to be handled by the system, I guess my confusion is, if the system is already existing, why would it take so long to enter in those additional uses?
So the system does exist. and it has limitations in terms of what it can do, but it is also a system that you can use to develop additional functionality. So we are in the process of developing additional functionality. But when I came in, I recognized that there is a baseline platform that we were not utilizing to its maximum capacity, so I'm leveraging the base PeopleSoft platform to build out an automated tool to support the workflow for the socioeconomic programs. And I was told not to get too technical, so I'm sorry, I apologize.
If I may add to Mr. Jones's response, the CLN system was certainly already developed when I came aboard in July 2016, and we were just in the process of rolling out the new CLM system for the entire organization. So when Mr. Jones joined the organization in January of earlier this year, obviously we had developed modules specifically for the DBE office's use. However, you know, obviously it was based on the programming that went into that particular module was based on a set of business rules dictated by the previous manager that was in charge of the DBE program. And per his assessment, he has determined that there are additional functionality that needs to be built into the module, and that's why he started working with our IT team to redesign and add additional functionality to that particular module.
So. I think there's tremendous potential. Right. In terms of how we can utilize a system to leverage automation for the DBE program and for all the business programs, actually, and tracking programs.
So while that's in process, how is all of these information gathering being merged together or kept without creating complication or confusion? Because some of it I hear is going into an automated system, some of it is still paper. So how is that going to be merged and married without an excessive amount of review and avoiding confusion and delay?
So the piece that would be considered paper presently is the prompt payment piece. And we have, with the CLM team, we're collecting the data from the vendors, and the reason we're using the spreadsheet, we formatted the spreadsheet in such a way that we can then upload that information into CLM once we complete the data sheet. So there will be no need for excessive human keying, if you will. So we thought about that when we designed a template for the prompt payment data gathering.
Okay. Who sets the goals as standards? Is it the DBE office or is it procurement?
The overall 22% goal?
Mm-hmm. That number.
It would be set by the DBE programming in concert with the Office of Procurement.
So if procurement has a certain amount of contracts that they have that come in, the DBE office cannot go and get those contracts. They're just letting procurement know, hey, we need to make this by a certain year. How's that overplay?
Right. Well, the procurement review group that I spoke of is designed to ensure that we stay focused on our DBE goal, and that's why the chief of procurement is the chair of that committee, to ensure that we pay attention to our DBE goal. And the DBE goal is, it's a part of the workflow process in PeopleSoft. It starts in the program office. The program office has to make a recommendation based upon past experience, a number of factors that I won't bore you with. And then it's passed on to the DBE group, and we confirm whether or not the goal that they would share is a proper goal. And so there are checks and balances in the system, and the PeopleSoft workflow does contemplate that, and it is in the system currently. Mm-hmm. So there's very little paper left, is what I would say to you. And while the checks and balances can certainly be improved, from a management standpoint, it really is just a matter of enforcing it through the procurement review group.
Other questions?
So, you know, tell me if this is a correct way to sort of wrap my head around all of this. I mean, effectively, you're doing a complete ground-up reorganization of the DBE efforts. You're starting from scratch, if you will, not in the sense that we've never done it before, but just completely rethinking it in terms of personnel and systems. And so, therefore, this is very elementary. I think the guiding question, you know, then becomes, Historically, have you uncovered that the goal setting part, even though there is the way to make sure there are checks and balances, that those goals that were historically made were not necessarily credible goals? Is that what I'm hearing?
I personally have not assessed whether or not the goal setting methodology that was implemented prior to my arrival was consistent with what the available pool of contracts were at the time. And I'm not certain that the goal is incorrect. I think within the next 6 months, we will determine whether it's a matter of process and procedure or simply the goal was set improperly. And so I will need some data to be able to analyze to even tell you whether or not the goal is too high.
But we can expect that at some point we will have the ability to articulate and deliver goals that we really feel are
yes,
credible.
Sir.
Yeah, Mr. Dorsey, if I may, once again, I think you're exactly right. I think as part of this ground-up assessment, we have determined that it should not be a singular effort either by the Office of DBE or by the Office of Procurement. It is a joint effort, and which is why when we assess the situation, we formed the PRG, the Procurement Review Group, which is comprised of the Office of DBE and our Chief Procurement Officer and other member stakeholders with program area. So we want to, when we establish these subcontract DBE participation goals, we want to make sure that, one, we assess the type of contract that we're putting into place, whether it be a parts procurement, if you will, or a service contract or construction contract, where we have more opportunities for subcontracting DBE goals, where it's much more easily achievable versus specific other types of commodity purchases where it may be unique to the operation of WMATA, such as real parts purchases, et cetera. So that's why when we form a PRG group, so it works in conjunction with the DBE office to make sure that whatever goal is established, it is absolutely achievable.
Yeah, realistic and achievable.
And a couple quick follow-ups. So if the performance for the current fiscal year, or I guess the current fiscal year continues,
yes.
Will we be in danger of any corrective actions or penalties from FDA for not hitting the 10% target?
Okay, so we have been working with the FTA for the last 3 months. We've shared with the FTA our current situation, and I've been submitting written reports to the FTA, and the FTA on Friday indicates that they are no longer monitoring, if you will, that they're going to allow us to demonstrate that we can meet the goals. But there probably will be an FTA audit at some point in the future because the goal is relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
But as to a loss of funding, there's been no indication from FTA that there's any risk of losing funding at this point. And I believe that as long as we continue to be transparent and communicate the state of affairs, if you will, that the FTA will be supportive.
I mean, clearly the regulations are not so much about hitting the number, but making sure that you're putting forth a good faith
correct
effort.
Yes.
And to
correct
all extent that we know, they're satisfied
yes
with
correct
our good faith
and
effort.
And we need
yes
to properly document every single contract where we detect where there's non-compliance issues, and we're doing everything possible to rectify the situation. So obviously for our federally funded contracts, we're paying special attention to make sure that we're in full compliance.
Terrific. And the last question. So DOT, my understanding is they have a fairly robust database of certified DBE contractors in the sphere and the spaces that we work in.
Yes.
Is that helpful to you all in dealing with the very specific issue of finding that our database had about half of firms that were actually not certified?
Yes, it is. And so one of the things that I really want to look, the FDA gives transit agencies some latitude as to goal setting. Goal setting is based upon the number of available firms to do the work, so to the extent that we can rely on the DOT database, that would be helpful. That expands the opportunities for local businesses as well.
Right.
So that is something we certainly will do moving forward.
Thank you. I recognize we're short on time, Madam Chair, and Mr. Horner hasn't had a chance yet, so I'll defer any further questions.
I've actually read significant portions of FDA DBE circulars that
right
would be regulations under
yes
49 CFR.
Yes.
In connection with my representation of state and Office of Transportation and Transit agencies, I think it's an area which the policy standards could student shift.
Yes.
This is a query about concepts I want to relate to you. The first isn't really a query about your program itself, but then your sense of the policy state of play at USDOT are currently the methodologies recommended for goal setting in Fort Casey, Ninth Circuit, Western States are confined by guidance and policy of USDOT to Ninth Circuit. Are you getting any hints that the articulation of the bar in Western States will be extended to the entirety of the United States? The reason I ask, because if that's the case, we probably need to hurry up and improve our methodologies for articulating set goal setting, because there will be heightened exposure to litigation on the Western States.
So no, we have not gotten an indication from FTA, but I do understand and appreciate where you're going, that the focus is primarily on ensuring the highest race-neutral goal setting and goal achievement. So if when we achieve a state of operation that I believe we will be able to shift in at will, yes, pivot if we must, but we will be able to pivot, yes.
And Mr. Horn, my last employment was at USDOT. I work for the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and I stay in very much close contact with the senior procurement executive. So obviously, you know, I will contact him and make a determination if there's anything coming down the pipeline. Just exactly right. So.
The other question is, I heard mentioned, perhaps I didn't hear it correctly, of a local preference program. As you know, USDOT has withdrawn rulemaking to allow local preference scoring of proposals.
Yes.
Right. Has, I suppose, suspended the pilot program.
Yes.
Does that put our local preference program at risk of non-compliance with federal law?
I don't believe it does because our local preference program is based on operating funds and not federal funds, and it's limited to simplified acquisitions, which are $150,000 or less. So I don't think that there is any risk there. Yes.
Okay. Just a final I guess it's a comment or question. I know that there's a lot of reorganization that's going on, it appears, which leads room for those who are not in management and not in your office to be aware of what's going on. Can you speak to your communication during this process with the public, with vendors, with potential vendors, and how we can avoid the lack of transparency and mitigating any harm or damage that they might have while we're rebooting this program?
Yes, ma'am. When we made the initial transition, we sent emails to all of the vendors who are registered in our system about what the process is, what the procedures are. We have specific instructions on site. We need to improve our external communications to provide transparency to the general public and to prospective vendors, and I fully agree with that, and we're in the process of designing that now. As to internal messaging, I don't think we've done any internal messaging, but we will to the workforce, explaining to the workforce what we're doing and what we hope to achieve as well. And I won't. I'll let Mr. Cole speak to the internal communication.
Yeah, from the standpoint of internal messaging, obviously the reorganization was definitely shared with the senior leadership and communicated through a staff notice to all of throughout the entire organization. But from a individual communication standpoint, that has not obviously occurred. But as we move forward with the recruitment process, obviously, this will be communicated throughout the entire organization. So.
Well, I would appreciate that. I think, you know, even though this program is not necessarily on the top of things that the larger scale programs that we have, I think its impact, especially locally, and outreach is definitely an asset that we would like to have a clear level of communication with people that we're going to ask to be participants in the next year once this is restarted, not starting off on a bad foot because maybe they have tried this year and because of everything that's going on, they're a little bit confused and hashtag over it. So we want to make sure that, you know, we keep our relationships with our potential clients and the public as open and transparent as possible. So I would appreciate that.
Absolutely agree.
If there are no further questions, we are going to adjourn this meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.